Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff wraps up his message, God's Kingdom Team, from the series Stronger, and shows you how every believer has been picked to be on God's winning team. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
And those were people that had the gift of helps. They would be the people that would come to me after the first week. Oh, thanks for letting me serve the food. Thanks for letting me sweep the floor. Thanks for letting me set up chairs. I don't know much about teenagers, but it was so great to be a part because I see God's doing a great thing. Thanks for letting me be a part of this, right? Other people I would give the same assignment. They would say like, hey, I didn't see him at all. I see him out in the smoker's pit with like six different kids that never fit into our youth group. And they would come to me afterwards and they'd be like, oh, Jeff, I'm so fired up. Thank you so much for letting me serve. You know, these six kids out there, you know what's going on in their life. I got to share the gospel with two of them. And I'm like, hey, thanks, gift of evangelism. So glad you joined our team. Then there'd be somebody that would come to me at the end of the night and she'd be like, hey, do you know that girl that's like a sophomore in your group that's living with her mom and her dad's kind of abusive? And I think she's having thoughts of suicide. And I'm just wondering if I could get her number and give her a call this week. And I'm like, of course you can. Gift of mercy, gift of discernment. Give her a call. She needs that. Then there'd be that one person that would come to me afterwards, and they weren't complaining, but they kind of were, and they would say stuff like this. Hey, have you ever noticed that behind the counter is just so disorganized? I mean, have you ever considered like buying some containers and just organizing it? And you could like, okay, gift of administration, I'm glad that you've arrived. Right? I mean, I knew every single person's gift within 2 weeks. And if you take a person that has a gift of evangelism and you tell them stand behind the counter, they'll never do that for you. But I could make all the gifts operative in our student ministry. All the gifts can be operative in our church. You say, how do I get started? Here's what you do. You start loving Jesus and finding ways to serve others, and it will pour out of you. Some of you that have the gift of generosity, it's not uncommon for you to open your pockets and just start giving. One of the reasons we're changing our whole benevolence policy is because we started as like 7 or 8 years old. We got to be better at being generous towards the people in our own body, right? I mean, whatever your gift is, it's just going to come out, and other people will notice it before you. Other people will notice it before you. I've told our elders many times, I mean, my number one gift is the gift of apostleship. I know for me, if ministries aren't getting started, if we're not mobilizing people, if we're not moving, if we're just managing, I've told them several times, not as a threat, I know how I'm wired. If our church ever gets to a place where we manage, like if we get to like 5,000 people and everybody's like, that's cool, we're 5,000, I'm out. There's no place for me to serve anymore unless I can keep my foot on the faith pedal and take things out. That's how I'm wired. That's how I've always been wired. That's how God uses me. And your gift can be used anywhere at any time. So you can't come to church and be like, there's no place for me to serve. Here's a better thing to do. Okay, just listen to me. Hear me real quick. I don't need to give you a title to do it. You don't need authority to do it. If you're gifted and you just start doing what you think you're good at, there'll be fruit from it. If there's no fruit, you're not gifted at it, right? If you say, well, I'm really good at teaching students, but you can't get one student to listen to what you say, I got news for you. You're really not good at it. If 25 students are coming and we're getting reports back like, hey, this gal or this guy down with student ministry, I mean, they're just flourishing. Everybody wants to be. That's because they're gifted at it, right? And all of us are gifted in different ways. That's what we talked about. And all gifts are needed. But here's what you need to know. The only one that matters is yours. The only one that matters is yours. If you take your gift off God's kingdom field and said, well, we'll just play with that group, every team gets limited when you're not playing with all your full potential. I said last week, I mean, you let me coach an NFL team. And all we say is, hey, give me the 4 best offensive players, the 4 best defensive players, the 4 best special teams players. We'll get killed by everybody, even if those 4 guys are all pro. You need everybody on the team. And that's what he's saying. So I would say, get involved now. We don't need to be copycats. One of the things that goes on in church is we think, well, if I have this gift, then I got to be like that guy. I have a teaching gift, so I got to be like this teacher. No, you don't. You be like you. And you be like you, and you be like you. You be the best you can be doing it in your way, and God will bless that. And even as a church, our church doesn't need to look exactly like anybody else's church. Yes, we want to bring glory to Jesus. Hope all churches do that. Yes, we want to teach the word. Hope all churches do that. But our reflection in the kingdom may look different. For us, From a leadership on down, what fires us up is building quality disciples to mobilize people for missions all around the world. And we're just getting started. But I guarantee you, one day you are going to see us. It's going to happen. I'm by faith, I believe it. You're going to see people standing here being commissioned all over the world, taking people from our church to go with them to plant churches to the glory of God. That's what I'm fired up and want to be a part of. That's our church's uniqueness. Now, in the body of Christ, it doesn't mean that we're better or we're worse. It's just who we are. Be the best you that you can be. That's what Paul says. And God's the one that's positioned all these things. Let me tell you something else. Not only individually, but then as a body, we need to take care of things. Notice this. Point number three, God needs you to care and cheer for all members on Christ's team. God needs you to care for, cheer, and celebrate all members on Christ's team. Notice what he says. Verse 20. But now there are many members, but one body. He's been repeating this over and over and over ad nauseum, right? And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary, right? I mean, the body, thank goodness, the hand can't say to the foot or the head to the arm, we don't need you anymore, get out of here. I mean, the body can't function. If you have a foot by itself and an arm by itself and a head by itself and a torso by itself, that's not a body, that's a cadaver. There's a big difference. We need the whole body to function together. And isn't it true sometimes that some of the weaker members of the body are more necessary than we think they are? I remember when I was in eighth grade, it was 2 days before I was supposed to go to basketball camp for the summer. And we were on a vacation in Branson, Missouri at a water slide. And my sister and I, we were going down, running up, going down, running up, going down, running up all day long. Well, one of my trips up, I literally kicked as hard as I could one of the metal posts going up, my fourth toe of my left foot. I broke it. And it wasn't like cool like today where you get like those robo walking legs. I mean, this was like, they gave me like a platform wooden shoe with like green canvas and three brown eyelets to tie up. And I had to walk around like this. It was just the fourth toe on my bottom foot. Everything else on my body was just fine. It was just my fourth toe. You don't realize how much you need your fourth toe until you don't have a fourth toe that works, right? I didn't get up this morning thanking God for my kidneys and my pancreas and my liver. I mean, I didn't even know how to ask God to make those things function correctly. I'm just glad that they're there. But isn't it true in the body of Christ? Sometimes there's things we celebrate, but there's others that are doing just as significant kingdom work that are more anonymous that God cares for. It means we care for and cheer for and celebrate everybody in the body of Christ. Right? That's what he's saying. And notice what he says this. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. In other words, we should be even more grateful for those ones in our body that we would normally overlook and say, listen, because here's what I would tell you as your pastor. If you're a person that prays, which I know several of you are because I've gotten several notes from you when I was sick, listen, I champion your ministry. And you're going to find out someday in heaven that because you prayed when nobody saw what you were doing, you were one of the biggest assets that we ever had in our church. Right? There's things that you do, and here's what you're doing. You're not doing it for an audience of the crowd. You're doing it for an audience of one. If God can see what you're doing, it will build. Some of you that have gifts of mercy, nobody gets to see everything you're doing except for the one or two or three recipients of your gift. And I'll tell you this, they're grateful because I'm always grateful when I'm getting it from you. Right? What's your gift? We need to bestow honor on all people. And then he says this, and on our less presentable members more presentable, whereas the more presentable members have no need for it. I mean, there are parts of our body that we take great care in covering, right? To show care and concern for. There are some people in our body of Christ that we need to take special time to care for and come around and have concern for, right? Sometimes in our Christianity that we have today, we think everybody needs to be like a poster child and look a certain way and dress a certain way. Hey, some of the most gifted people I have met in 30 years in the body of Christ, like people that hear the Lord and kind of understand who he is and have a passion for him, some of those people, not all, some of those people are some of the weirdest people I've ever met in my life, right? That I wouldn't necessarily bring out and be like, hey, meet so-and-so, because you would say, they're kind of weird, but I'm telling you, you get to know them. They're not kind of weird. They're kind of connected to Jesus and he really loves them infinitely. And he's saying this, all parts of the body are welcomed.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Kingdom Team, from the series Stronger, showing you that every believer has been picked to be on God's winning team. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
He's saying this, all parts of the body are welcomed. We need them all. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I realize how grateful I am for the body that I had, right? I mean, there's parts of my body I wasn't as thankful for 30 years ago that I'm thankful for now. Do you know what I'm saying? As we grow in our maturity in Christ, we feel the same way. We realize that every one of you is supernaturally gifted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever capacity he has. And it's kind of like this. The point he's trying to make is, you know, the arm is way more visible. I can take my sleeve off. I just don't want to, you know, embarrass some of the men here. But I mean, I can show off my arms, but I can live without an arm. I can't live without my kidneys. I can live without my legs. I can't live without a heart, right? I mean, the things that I can't always see are often more valuable than the things that I can see. That's why churches that flourish, it's not about the senior pastor or lead guy or elders. It's about the team. It's about all of us coming together and being everything we've been needing to be for Christ. Paul says, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked it, so that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same what? Care for one another. Your gift was intended to care for other people. And most of you, in ways that you can care, they don't seem like a big deal, but they're a big deal. Some of you are just naturally generous. We can't do ministry here without generosity. It's impossible. Well, that's not that big of a deal. All I do is write a check. Well, write a bigger one. Right? I mean, we can use that. All I do is I just greet people coming in. Hey, listen, I want to tell you this. I've been to church enough to know that many times when I'm coming to church, I care more about how I'm going to get greeted than what the pastor has to say. Because I know several of you, when you walked in here this morning, you kind of fell down. You meet one of our greeting team. They're not greeting you because they have to. They enjoy greeting you. They really want to make you feel welcome here. They want to know that there's a spot for you at Brave Church on the team, right? No matter what your gift is, just use it, exercise it, and use it more so that it doesn't atrophy. And then notice this. No division, because we're not looking to each other to see what each other has. We're going to honor God. And if one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Do you feel that way? I mean, when you hear about things going on in our church, do you suffer with people that are hurting? Hey, when you hear about other people in our body that God is promoting or he's celebrating, can you celebrate with them? Two things I find that Christians have a real hard time doing is hurting with those who hurt. And sometimes what's even harder is celebrating with those who are God is blessing. See, if you're sufficient in who you are in Christ and you're filled up with the Holy Spirit, when somebody gets something good happen in their life, you know what you'll do? You'll celebrate them. You'll take time to tell them, hey, I'm so glad with what God's doing in your life. I see that. That's awesome. It doesn't rob me of anything God's doing in my life, but I'm as happy he's doing it in your life because guess what? There's 7+ billion people on the planet that need God's service, so go for it. And can you take time to weep with those who weep? See, the problem with caring for and celebrating others is that it's completely inefficient. It takes time. And if you're the kind of person that says, well, I don't have time to suffer with them. I was going somewhere. I mean, I don't have time. I mean, pick yourself up. Let's get going. That's not the heart of Jesus. And if your heart is when somebody does something really well or really good, or you see gifts in them, if you don't have the courage to tell them how gifted they are, it's because you have insecurities in your own heart. See, God wants us to be the greatest group of cheerleaders and the greatest group of compassion people as we continue to build his church and advance his kingdom. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. Use your gift to exalt Jesus, build up his body so we can advance the kingdom. And all of you are A players. I mean, if Jesus Christ showed up here this morning in all of his glory, once time elapsed and we all got picked up off the ground and all that, and he could tell us what he thought about you and he could bring each one of you up here, he would talk about before the beginning of the world and eternity past, how he had selected you for what he wanted you to do. And he would begin to talk about all the things he's been able to get done through you, how proud he is of you. And if he showed you all the things he wanted to do through you, not only would your mouth drop, our mouths would drop and be like, no way, that's incredible that God would want to do that. That's what he wants to do with everybody. And yet oftentimes in the church, we're the ones that put everybody down, or we don't have time to build other people up. And we think there's only a couple of people that can do anything. What would it be like if everybody was serving to their full and loving Jesus in our church? I'm telling you right now, we'd outgrow this building. We wouldn't have enough seats in here, right? Because it would be the body of Christ saying, I want that. I want to know that I'm special. I want to know that I'm valuable. So here's how Paul ends. Paul ends by saying this, point number four, that God needs you to play your role while he continues to build his team. God needs you to play your role while he continues to build his team. Right? It doesn't matter what your role is. Just be the best at your role that you can be. And just so you know, you say, I didn't want that role. You're already doing it. I guarantee you're already doing it. I mean, think about, if you're a Christian, think about what you did when you first got saved. First thing I did when I got saved was go tell all my unsaved friends they were going to hell. Nobody told me to do that. I never took an evangelism class. I sat down with my dad at a restaurant. I remember right where we were, and I was leading him through the gospel. And I'm like, my dad is the most gentle, kind, sweet man you've ever met. I mean, I love my dad, right? I mean, you know, I mean, my dad's just tender. And we were talking, and I'm like, Dad, he's like, well, I've read through the Bible. I've gone to church my whole life. I'm like, yeah, I know, but you're still going to hell. Because here's the deal. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I've always believed that. No, you haven't, Dad. When you got to make a decision. Nobody told me to do that. I had no training in that. It's what I do, right? What did you do? Some people started having a heart of compassion for people. Some people had a heart of generosity for people. Some people had mercy gifts they didn't realize they had. Some people were, from the day you got saved, you started studying the word like you've never been. I mean, your face was like leather because all you did was get in the word and get in the word and get in. There's a natural proclivity or tendency based upon your gift as to how you responded once you became a believer. And if you don't know what your gift is, let me give you the best way to do it. Get in a small group where you desire to love God and serve other people, and it will just come out. If you have a gift of hospitality, you'll be the one person that's like, hey, let's do it at my house. Let's bring everybody over here. If you don't have the gift of hospitality, you'll say, hey, yeah, let's do it at your house, right? I mean, not everybody has every gift, right? But God needs you to play your role. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let Jesus build the church. You just play your role. And I'm telling you this, I played on championship teams. I played on teams that could have been champions but weren't. And I played on lousy teams. The worst team to play on was the team that could have been a champion that wasn't. I remember when I was 22 years old, the University of Illinois, sitting down with my coach in college, telling him, at the time, Nebraska was the number one team in the country. I remember telling him, I would rather be the extra point holder for Nebraska than be your quarterback. We're not a winning team. See, I've kind of always been bold like that. So the point is, we want to be on championship teams. We want to play for, you're on the winning team. It's a guaranteed victory. It's a guaranteed win. And God says, you're my first round draft choice. And notice what he says. Now you're all members of Christ's body, and individually you're members of it. And notice what God's appointed. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. As you heard me say last week, and you'll hear me say more as we get into chapter 14, I believe all those gifts are operative today. When it comes to apostle and prophet, here's where I think things have ceased. To be an original apostle, you needed to see the resurrected Jesus Christ and verbally hear from him go. I have never visibly seen the resurrected Christ. I have never face-to-face heard an audible voice saying go. But I will tell you, I have spent time with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and in my spirit so many times, he tells me go to a place where things aren't going and go build it up. That's my gifting. Apostles make great church planters, frontline missionaries, starting up new ministries. That's what an apostle is. A prophet is someone that brings forth the word of God, speaks on God's behalf. I have some of those giftings as well, right? But what we don't have today are prophets that say, thus say the Lord, that doesn't align with this book. So I'm never going to tell you something that doesn't align with this book. If I do, fire me. All right, this is the book you need to listen to. I'm not going to come up with new revelation and tell you stuff that's not in this book. This book is complete. right? So there's no prophets that are going to say, hey, you guys have never heard this before, but let me tell you, and you need to add this to that book you have. No, no, no. That's not a modern day prophet. Modern day prophet is someone who speaks on God's behalf to God's people. And then he says, we got teachers. We know what that is. Miracles, healings, helps, administration of various kinds of tongues. We'll talk about some of the supernatural gifts here in a couple weeks, how those are to be operative in the church. But then he says this, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? In the original language in Greek, I never knew I would ever use this when I was studying this, but in the original language, there's two different particles. It's ou and may. Every time ou is used, it's expecting a positive answer. Every time may is used, it's expecting a negative answer. This is all may. This is all expecting a negative answer. Not all are apostles. Well, of course they're not. Not all are prophets. Of course they're not. Not all are teachers. Of course they're not. I mean, it goes all the way down. And listen to this. Not all speak in tongues. Here's the answer. Of course they don't. Let me just tell you something before we get to tongues. Whether you speak in tongues or not, it has nothing to do with your level of spirituality. It's a gifting of the Lord. You're not more spiritual if you do, and you're not less, you know, whatever. You're just not. You're not less spiritual if you don't. But notice this, what he says. But earnestly desire the greater gifts. What are the greatest gifts? Here's the greater gifts. The greater the gift is the one that helps build the church the most. In other words, use your gift and eagerly desire your gift for the purpose of bringing exaltation to Jesus and building up other people. Your gift was not given to you so you could run off and use it by yourself. You were gifted to play on a team. You were gifted to play on a team, right? I mean, if I said I'm an awesome basketball player and they said, what team do you play on? I said, I just didn't feel like playing on a team. I'm just really good. I'm not a good basketball player. I may be a good shooter in the parking lot. If I said, hey, I'm an awesome quarterback, I mean, but I don't play on a team. No, I might be able to throw a ball decently, but I'm not good unless I'm on a team and can demonstrate my gift on the team. You can say I'm really gifted in this, but if nobody sees the gift being operative on the team, it's not a gift that God's using, or you're not using your gift. So here's what God would say. Love me, love my people, and I'll use your gift. You don't have to go figuring all this stuff out. It's so natural. Now, you can take spiritual gift tests. They can be helpful or they can be wrong. So I took two this week. First one I took, apostleship, faith, 1 and 2. I'm like, yeah, that's I've known that for years. Took another one. They only had like 8 gifts on it. My number one gift, administration. So I threw that one out. So, but the whole point is God will use who you are. And God's up in heaven. God the Father's up in heaven. Jesus the Son is in heaven. His body's on the earth. The Holy Spirit's empowering you through the church saying, you're my number one draft pick. Will you love me and serve my people? Because if you'll love me and serve my people, I will build something in and through you that you didn't even know was possible. I'll use you in ways that other people will be like, how do you get to do that? And why do you get to do that? And because I love God and I love his people and he just chose this for me. And next week, you're going to see the more excellent way, the way this fleshes out. If you have love for God and you have love for God's people, it's automatic. It's automatic. So here's my question as we end today. Does the Holy Spirit have all of you? Does the Holy Spirit have all of you? He's in you. You have all of him if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, but does he have all of you? Or is there unconfessed sin in your life? Is there a desire to say, well, I want some of Jesus. I just don't want all of them. I mean, if I give it all to Jesus, man, he'll take my life and make it miserable. I've not met one person, okay? Not met one person filled with the Holy Spirit who would ever tell you, yeah, my life's worse off now than it was before. Not one. Not one. Not one. My life from the time I was filled with the Holy Spirit has been the most enjoyable, adventurous life. I would not trade my life for anybody else's life in the whole world. I think I'm living the best life I can possibly live in this world because I love Jesus and he's filling me up, using me the way he deems best. And guess what? The greatest news is God doesn't run out of stuff. He's an abundant God. If God gives to you and then you and then you, it's not like God's like, well, now I don't have as much left to give. He doesn't run out when he gives. He's God. He's infinite. And he wants to give you everything and let you be filled by his Spirit for his glory.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Kingdom Team, from the series Stronger, about how every believer has been picked to be on God's winning team. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit bravepastorjeff.com. That's bravepastorjeff.com. But before we wrap up, We also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.